Reading from the King James Version, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, and for they know not the voice of strangers. This the parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm just going to read verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So I read from the King James Version, but I'm just going to refer to my ESV, just so not to confuse anybody, but I would rather do it from the ESV. Tonight, I want to leave you with a message of the gospel, but the subject would be the Good Shepherd. And if there's anything that you don't remember about tonight, just remember the Lord Jesus is your Good Shepherd. We begin here in verse 1. He says, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. And any time the Lord Jesus says to you, truly, truly, or verily, verily, as I read, pay attention to it. It's something very important he's about to say. And the Lord Jesus, he captured their attention here by saying, truly, truly, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but some other way, climbs in, sneaks in, some other way, he's a thief and he's a robber. What is a thief? A thief is someone that goes and steals something. A robber, someone that goes and kills and steals it. But he's using this analogy here of a shepherd and a sheep. And we know in the analogy of that, we know that wolves come in and they steal the sheep to devour it. And we have here that it is described here that this man is a thief and a robber. And who is it really speaking about here? When we see here that it says this man is a thief and a robber, but it's speaking about somebody that goes some other way to enter into the sheepfold. He's not entering by the door. He's entering in another way. Well, I think here it's really speaking of the character of Satan. It's really speaking of the character of Satan, because here we have a thief and a robber. We have someone that seeks to devour the sheep. We have someone that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, as we have in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But perhaps maybe we could put it in another context, that there is no other way to enter into the sheepfold other than through the door. Most of the time, people, they want to enter in some other way. You know, they think that, you know what, by doing good works, I'm going to be saved. But what does the Bible say? All of our good works is filthy rags. It says in Isaiah 64. So if we think by doing good works is a means of getting us saved, no. Some people think going to church. Maybe it's good for us to go to these meetings here. You know, it's good for us to go to church. And that is really good. But you know what? Going to church will not get you saved. Some people think following the Ten Commandments. You know, if I do all these Ten Commandments, I will be saved. We know the Lord Jesus spoke to a little boy, and the little boy said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did the Lord Jesus say? "Do all the Ten Commandments." And the Lord and he said, "I've done them all." And what did the Lord Jesus say? "No, sell all you have." This is the rich fool. Sell all you have and give your possessions to the poor. Sell everything up and give it to the poor. And he went away sad because he couldn't do that. So he missed one commandment. Do not covet. So therefore, he was guilty of one, he was guilty of all. None of us are perfect. In Romans 3, it tells us that no one is good. Not even one. Romans 3, verse 10. I'm going to read it. I think it's verse 10. Romans 3. Let's turn to that. Romans 3, verse 10. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So, doing good does not get you to heaven. Doing good does not get you saved. Going to church doesn't get you saved. Although going to church is by means by which you can be saved. Because here we are all listening to the gospel now. And if there's anybody that is not saved, this is their chance to give their hearts to Christ. Following the Ten Commandments doesn't get you saved. You could be as good as you want. It won't get you to heaven. And so we know that for a fact. Enter by the door. So we go back to John chapter 10. And it says in verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And so we have here a different character. We have the shepherd. We have the one that's not a thief, that's not a robber. The one that actually enters in the right way. The one who we can say speaks of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. And he's the one that enters in the right way. And it says that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. So the sheep here would speak of those believers, those that are saved, those that have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. Are we all counted as sheep? Are we all saved? It's not my job to judge you. I know without a doubt, and I believe, that most of these people here are saved. Most of you are saved. But it's between you and God. It's not me. It's not in between me and you. When you die, you're going to answer to God. Not me. My sheep hear my voice. If you are a sheep, you will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. The sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you follow the Lord Jesus? You know, as a sheep, it means that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. And if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, it means that, therefore, you must do what he says. So do you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, and do you follow him? Do you do exactly what he says? When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So the Lord Jesus captures their attention by just bringing about this figure of speech to them, bringing about this analogy. He captures their attention, and then he goes even further into depth. He goes and explains even more by saying again, truly, truly, or verily, verily. So pay attention. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So whatever means that people think that they can come to the Lord Jesus to be saved, they think that, you know what, if I do good works, that's enough. The Lord Jesus will accept me. If I pray 20 times a day, the Lord Jesus will accept me. If I do all the Ten Commandments, the Lord Jesus will accept me. Any of these things is not good enough. But you have to come by the door. And that's the only way you can be saved. Because he says in verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There is no other name given among men by which you can be saved. No other name but the Lord Jesus. You can't be saved any other way. So you have to go through that door. The door of salvation. He says, I am the door. If any man enters, he will be saved. And perhaps maybe on the flip side, we can think about Revelation, where he says, he's knocking at your door. Is he knocking at your door? Is there anybody here that is not saved? Is he knocking at your door? And he wants you to come in. He wants to sup with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to be saved. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So we have a contrast here. We have the good shepherd and we have the thief and the robber, or Satan. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to bring death. He comes to rob us of any goodness we have. Right now, he wants to rob us of anything that I'm saying. Remember in the story of the sower, when the sower sowed those seeds on the path, and what happened? The birds came and took it up. The birds there would speak of Satan. And Satan wants to rob us of any goodness right now and even this week. When we learn a lot about the body of Christ, Satan wants to rob us of it. And right now, if there's anybody that's not saved, Satan wants to rob you. He wants to make sure that you don't get saved. But in contrast, the Lord Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the Lord Jesus is here to give us life. He's here to save us. He's here to provide for us a way to God. He can say in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the only way to go to heaven. That's the only way to go to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. He's the door. Then he goes on and says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And I think this here would speak of something that is ongoing. He is our good shepherd. He is our great shepherd. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He is our great high priest. He is the one that helps us through our struggles. He is the one that is there for us. And if we want a little bit more help about that, maybe we can read Psalms 23, where he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff may comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the midst of my enemies. And he goes on. Have a read of it. Perhaps I might have rephrased a bit wrong. But the Lord is our shepherd if we put our trust in him. He's our good shepherd. He's our great shepherd. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that lays his life down for us. Each and every day, he helps us. He says in verse 15, he who is a hired man and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. And so we have here, we had a shepherd, we have a thief or robber, and we have a hired man. And the hired man, as we just read, doesn't care about the sheep. How many of us are like that? You know? Do we care about our saints? Do we care about the brothers and sisters? Perhaps we have the character of a hired man. We're not a hired man because we're saved, but perhaps we have a character of them, you know? We don't care about them. When a thief and robber comes, when Satan steals somebody of their joy, do we come to our brother or sister and say, cheer up, have a word with them, chat to them, encourage them? Do we do that? You know, perhaps we have a character of the hired man. Perhaps we leave them out in the cold and let them fend for themselves. And then the wolves come and devour them. We have to have a care for our brothers and sisters, especially the young ones. And I'm not saying that because I'm up here and I'm young. But we have to care for each other. We have to find out what's going on. How can I help you? How can I encourage you? How can I support you? Because we all struggle. We all struggle as believers. So perhaps maybe we have a character of the hired man. But we have here that the hired man does not care for the sheep. And it's only the shepherd, the good shepherd, that cares for the sheep. He flees because he is a hired hand, and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And here we have, I think we have here sort of a revelation of what the Lord Jesus was about to do. Of course, we know he has already done it. He's died on the cross for our sins. He's laid down his life for us. He saved us from our sins. And by dying on the cross, because of this, we are saved. And if we just believe what he's done for us, we're saved. Then he goes on and says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Well, I think here the fold that we're talking about here is the fold of the Jews. It's the Jews. I think the Lord Jesus is opening up some truth here. Because he says that, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. So what's this fold talking about? It's talking about the Jews. We know that the gospel was brought to the Jews first. Paul can say in Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto God first, for the what? For the Jews first, then to the Greek. We can say that the Gentiles were brought in. The Gentiles is us. We were brought into that fold. And what happened? It becomes one flock. One flock. We are one flock. And the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. This is always what the Lord Jesus wants. He wants to dwell with man. He wants us to be one together. And what an amazing thing it is that we are speaking about the body of Christ, because we are one. Another amazing thing is that Christians from all over, every denomination, will be in heaven. Don't think it's just going to be us as what we call ourselves the brethren, but really the brethren is actually everybody that's Christian is called the brethren, although some won't believe that. But
they will then.
Exactly. They will then. You know? When we get to heaven, we're going to see people from all different denominations. And how amazing that will be. So what a wonderful subject. We're speaking about the body and how that hits us in reality. We are one flock. And then he goes on. I forgot the first time in now. Yeah. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received of my Father. And I think here the Lord Jesus is bringing us the truth of the fact that he has died on the cross for our sins, but that he has not only died, that he has rose from the grave. What a wonderful song we like to sing. Up from the grave he arose. And you know what? Everybody sings it to the top of their lungs. But you know what that means? The fact that the Lord Jesus has risen from the grave is the reason why we have our faith. Because Paul says, if it wasn't for his resurrection, our faith would be in vain. We might should render it useless. And no other religion can say that, you know what, their God has risen from the grave. Only our religion. This is a true relationship with the true God, who has risen from the grave. He died for our sins, according to the scripture, and he rose according to the scripture, and he has ascended in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, ever still interceding for us, ever our great high priest, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth that is, that he laid down his life for us so that we can be saved, that he died and he rose from the grave. And this, he laid down his life and he took it up again. He did this on his own. The power of God. What a wonderful power he has. Nobody needed to do this for him. He did it himself. And I read those verses in 27, didn't I? 27 to 30. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's security. That's security right there. You know what? Most Christians believe that you can lose your salvation. Most Christians believe that when you get saved and you sin, you can lose your salvation. But that's not true. Because you know what? All of us will lose our salvation. There will be absolutely no one in heaven. Nobody. Because if you get saved and lose your salvation, well, I feel sorry for all of us. I feel sorry for myself too as well. But that's not true. Scripture here clearly says, nobody can snatch them out of my hand. So if you are a sheep, the Lord Jesus has you covered. That's security. But listen to this. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's double security. How amazing that is. No one is able to snatch them out of his Father's hand. And then he goes on to say, I and the Father are one. So the Lord Jesus and the Father are one. We know this. I'm not telling you anything new. Three in one. One person. The Godhead. And he holds all things in place. He holds the whole entire universe, and yet he holds us in his hands. He says to us, no one is able to snatch them out of my hands. So what a security we have, that our salvation is secure. So if we're saved for eternity. We're saved to be with him forever and ever. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful work that he has done for us. He has laid down his life for us. Laid down his life for the sheep so that we can be saved. And all we have to do is go through that door. Go through that door of salvation. So I trust anybody here that have not yet made that decision to do so before it's too late. To go through that door of salvation. Don't try to enter any other way because it won't happen. There's no other way to be saved. But in Acts it tells us in 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yeah.